It's a pleasure to be in Springfield. I was looking forward to coming, and I haven't been disappointed. I could go home now and feel like I've been blessed. I feel the spirit of fellowship here in a special way. I know I've communicated that to you before. When I've come, those are not idle words. I mean those words. You all have a special place here in Springfield. The Spirit of the Lord has visited you all, and by extension, I feel like I have been blessed immensely from being here, and I trust that the words this morning will be a source of challenge and encouragement to you. I have a message that I'd like to share with you, and I'd like to start in the 46th chapter of Psalms. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. In a world where activity abounds, where it seems like that movement never stops, it seems like that noise never ceases, and trouble is on every hand, the exhortation of the Lord here is to be still and know that I'm God. We truly live in a world today where there is much political, physical, emotional, spiritual turmoil, isn't there? And it seems like that the spirit of the enemy has been let loose in a way that I know I'm only 41, but in my life, I see it in my life. It seems like that the spirit of the enemy has been let loose in ways that I guess if you would have asked me 20 years ago, I would have not thought that I would have observed some of the things that I observe today. There is so much trouble that we're faced with. And if it isn't trouble that we're faced with, there are so many inventions of the day to consume our time and our mind and our senses, that if the enemy can't get us on one hand, he'll come try to get us on another. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. He'll try to get us any way that he can. He'll get us in bondage in however manner that he can, because his objective, as his brother Randy brought out today, his objective, if he can neutralize us, he can move on to something else. And he has so many mechanisms of neutralization. And we're faced with them today. And the Lord, I've got to believe, well, I know that he knew that this time was coming. He knew that we would be faced with things that would be bigger than we are. And so way back in David's, they faced trouble back then too. They faced trouble Maybe a little bit differently than what we face today, but trouble has always been on the face of the earth. Men have always had to deal with men. We have always had to deal with our inadequacies. We've always had to deal with the spirit of the enemy, going all the way back to the garden when Eve was seduced and deceived by little bits of truth that were intermingled with something that was utterly false. And it seems like that we are faced with that more and more and more. And the thing that worries me today, or that is on my mind, is that it seems like sin is starting to lose its exceedingly sinfulness. And people are losing a respect for the gospel. People are losing the reverence that even in times past, those that walked after the flesh, they had a reverence and a respect for God. And it seems like today there is walls that are being broken down of right and wrong, and people are working to get us to the place where there's no definitives anymore. And it doesn't even have to be spiritual. And I want us to be aware of that. I want to just say that this morning while we're talking about it as a warning. The enemy won't always start with spiritual things where he says, well, that's not so bad, when it's an issue of right and wrong, spiritually speaking. He'll get in on things that where he starts to try to break down common courtesies and proper etiquette and how to present ourselves in the house of the Lord or at the dinner table or wherever we are, where pretty soon it's however I think about it. And pretty soon, if he can get us to where there's no definitives anymore, where there's no definite rights and wrong, well, then he slips into the next stage where it's, well, that's just how you think about it. And it's not necessarily an absolute. We're facing that in today's world. And the people of God, if we're not careful, we can begin to look at that, and the devil can use that to burden us so that we do exactly what Brother Randy was warning us against this morning. We can almost feel like fainting and giving up. And when we do that, that becomes a realized loss. There are losses on paper sometimes in the financial world. But when you get under the burden of that and you begin to be fearful of where your investment lies and you decide to sell out, that just goes from a paper loss to a realized loss. And the enemy is trying to get us in a place where we have experienced realized losses. The Lord doesn't want us to be there. The Lord wants us to go forward. He wants us to know there is a refuge. There is a rock that doesn't move. There is a place that you can go that is in the same place that it was years and years ago. I love I felt like the Lord inspired me, maybe it was a year ago, I don't know, in the Bible where it said before, was it Abraham? Before Abraham was, remember what it said? I am. Well, that isn't grammatically correct, is it? Is that what they teach you in school? You know, that's the only case where it's grammatically correct. Before he was, that means something that was way back before I am. I still am. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That rock is still there. It's still solid. And the Lord is telling us today, He's reminding us in the Word, God is our refuge. That's who we go to. That's where our strength is. That's our rock. That's where we find deliverance. That's where we find peace, and that's where we find relief. That's our outlet. It doesn't have to be music. It doesn't have to be the entertainment of the world. It doesn't have to be all the noise. It doesn't have to be all of the things that are presented to us. That's not a refuge. God is our refuge. And you can trust in it. He's still real. He's still alive. He still calls us by name. He knows your name. He's calling your name, saying, I see you. I know you. I know where you are. And I want you to know that I am your refuge today. Just like I was before. I'm in control. It has never gotten outside of my control. Got it handled. I've got this one. And then the exhortation goes on and he says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I am God. Be still and know that I am God. What does it mean to be still? I've written some things down here. I believe I might have written something very similar. Cease struggling. What else? Listen. Be quiet. What else comes to mind? When you're quiet and you cease struggling, you cease from murmuring, you're willing to put your way and your wisdom on the shelf. Be still. Have you ever had somebody ask you a question and you thought they really wanted to know the answer? You mistakenly thought that when they started to ask you a question, they actually were interested in knowing what the answer was. And just as you were preparing to tell them what the answer was, you found out that they already knew, or they thought they knew. And they kept talking and talking, and they asked you the question, they kept talking, and you're talking. Has anybody ever said, you know, if you'll be still long enough, I'll let you in on what you need to know. If you'll just be still. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if the Lord sometimes wants to tell us, Rod, if you'll just be still for a little while, I'll help open your eyes so this thing that is such a mountain to you, I can change your perspective if you'll let me. But you have to be willing to be still. You have to be willing to get to the place where you take all of your wisdom and your knowledge. I wrote down one of the things is putting aside all of the yes, but thoughts. I don't know if you've been there. I suspect that you have. You read a promise of the Word or the Bible. The Lord gives you a thought. And the enemy's right there to say, and self, yes, I believe that, but, we qualify, but the window of opportunity for deliverance that I need is past. See? Well, yes, I know that, Lord, but our dads used to tell us sometime we'd start to get into trouble, and I'd say, but Michael. And he'd say, no, not talking about Michael right now. And sometimes Michael was the one that needed to be talked about. And he'd say, we're not talking about Michael. We're talking about you. But, no. And I just wonder if we do that to the Lord too much. We come to Him with our cares because we have them. And they're real. And they're getting us down. And the Lord has already told us, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we come to the Lord, and He says, take my yoke upon you and learn. You know what a yoke is? Sometimes we can think of a yoke as this big, cumbersome, heavy thing that weighs us down. But a yoke is something that's adjustable. And they can take a small ox and a big ox and put a yoke on it and adjust it so that the big ox carries the greater load. And the weaker one doesn't have to pull so hard. And the Lord is calling us saying, will you yoke up with me? I have the answer here. And He gives us the strength and we push and we continue to try to exercise our wisdom, our way, our understanding, what we think ought to be, like the Lord's saying, if you just relax and let me carry this. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, let go and let God? Sometimes He just wants us to let go and let Him be still. Put your wisdom to the side. My ways are not your ways. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. The way of man is not in himself. But we think often that it is with me in this situation. And then we think the window of opportunity is past. Mary and Martha thought that too. I mean, to their eyes, it was a done deal. Lazarus was dead, gone, in the grave, tombstone was in place. You're late, Lord. If only you would have been here. And he wept. Why did he weep? He wept not because he was thinking, oh, I failed them. He wept because he was moved by their need. And I believe he weeps for us. He wasn't too late, and he's not too late today. Take courage in that. God's our refuge. Be willing to be still. It wasn't until Elijah became still, or it wasn't until he heard the still small voice. Why don't we just read that real quick? 1 Kings 19. It wasn't until he heard the still small voice that he got the direction that he needed. So in 1 Kings 19, and we'll skip on down, you know the story. In the 11th verse it said, and he said, go forth and stand before the mount, before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? that was a big, loaded question. Has the Lord ever asked you that question? Rod, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You know, if he would have gotten all caught up in the wind and the earthquake and all those and the things that the mountains were rent, the Lord must be here. Something, this commotion carrying on. The Lord wasn't there. But then he came in a still small voice, and then he had the answer. And he started with a question, what are you doing here? And I wonder if he asks us that sometimes. Well, Rob, what are you doing on this road? Where does this road lead? This wisdom that you think you have, where has it led in the past? What's at the end of this road that you're on? Why are you doing this? Why are you thinking this? Why are you looking at this? Why are you listening to this? Why are you entertaining these thoughts in your... Why are you renting space out in your mind to this? Be still. Be still and know that I'm God. I believe it's going to take us being willing to get still before the Lord often so that we'll hear His voice. Because He has the answer. And if we find we're in places where we don't know what the answer is, or maybe there's things that just don't make sense to us, we're going to come across times where things don't make sense to us. The Lord told us that already. He gave us a heads up that you're not always going to understand everything. Not everything is always going to make sense. But trust me. Be willing to put your hand in mine. Be willing to just be still and know that I'm God. I'm the one that made you. I'm the one that made all of this that is around you. I can handle this. I can take care of this. I want you to trust me. I remember when Carissa was a, a really young child, and you know, you always hear about children, you know, trusting and implicitly trusting. So I decided, well, I want to put this to the test. And so I set her up on the top of the refrigerator. And I said, well, you know, jump to daddy, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, she must be fearful. And if I wouldn't have reacted quickly, she would have found herself on the floor because with no hesitation, off she came, the top of the refrigerator. And I was scrambling to make sure, because I didn't think she was going to jump that quick. But you know why she did? Because she trusted me. It was a long way down, but she trusted me. She didn't sit up there and think, yeah, but what if he drops me? What if I jump and things go wrong? And I'm on the other hand thinking, hey, I'm dad. I'm all strength to you. I'm not going to let you fail. Come on, trust me. And do you know what I would have felt like if she had been up there and, well, dad, you might drop me, or I don't know if you're strong enough, or what if, but. And what if the Lord feels that with us sometimes? He's saying, jump out in faith, step out into the water. Don't dabble your toes. Did the priests get anywhere by leaving the ark behind them and just sticking their toes in the water? They walked out, and the water didn't part until they walked out with faith. I mean, they meant business because they had the ark with them too. It's like, okay, we're going across. Don't know how. Don't understand how this is going to work. But this is what the Lord wants us to do. So we're going. Don't understand it, but we're going. The Lord didn't open the water up until they went in the water. And then the water parted. And the Lord said, that's what I want to do for you. Be still and know that I'm God. I can do this. I can take care of you. Be willing to be still. Be willing to get in places where you turn off all of the things that consume our minds. Jesus is there to answer them. He said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I'm there. And if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And I wonder if there have been times in our lives where the Lord's been knocking and he had the answer and he was there. And our doubts and our fears or our questions that the enemy puts in us, the deceit that he tries to throw our way. And we think, well, I don't really understand. The Lord might be knocking. We have to be willing to turn. I visualized myself in a room full of speakers blaring all manner of things and a bank of dials on the wall just cranked. Fear, murmuring, questions, other outlets of entertainment to distract me. And the Lord wants me to go to each one of them and just start turning them off. Turn off the yes buts. Turn off your own wisdom. Turn off the doubts. Turn off the fear. Turn off the murmurings. Turn off this is what I want in life. Turn off, well, that window of opportunity has passed. This can't turn out anymore. Turn them all off. And get still and know that I am God. That's what the Lord's message is to us. He wants us to look to Him with faith, with trust, and with expectation. And I want to remind you of a little story before we close in the third chapter of Acts. Do you remember when Peter and John went up together into the temple? And it was about the ninth hour, and it said that a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. It said they laid him daily at the gate. And I've thought about this man different times. I don't know how many years he laid at this gate. It said he was a man. It didn't say he was a child, right? And he came there and he asked alms, because in his mind, this is my thinking, but in his mind, there was nothing of greater value that anybody could give him except for money. I mean, have you ever met people on the street corner and you're ready to offer them food or blankets, or they may have a sign that says, I'm hungry. You try to give them something to eat. I'm generalizing. Some of them are hungry and would like something to eat. But you know what they'd like to have most of all? Money. You know why? Because then they can make whatever decision they want to make with that money and buy what they feel like they need, because they feel like they understand their needs better than anybody else. So if I can get money, then that's the best thing anybody can offer me, because then I can get whatever I need. And so this man was at the gate, and daily he asks for alms. And I just visualize him out there with whatever it was he held, and he's looking for alms, and people, the masses, pass by, and maybe there's some people that gave to him on a regular basis, I don't know. But I just wonder if he, instead of focusing most of the time on people, with earnest expectation, after the days passed, he probably figured, kind of like people that are out hitchhiking, they really, a lot of times, don't think that next car coming by is going to stop. And so they're out there kind of like this, you know. And they're just hoping that one of the thousands will stop. But there's not this earnest expectations of, I think that car has the answer. And so he's out there looking for alms. And so Peter and John came along, and they were about to go into the temple, and Peter fastened his eyes on him, and with John, and you know what he said? He said, "Look on us." Well, was he not already looking at him? I don't know. Maybe he was. Have you ever saw someone but didn't look at him? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard something but didn't listen? And I wonder if he saw them but wasn't looking at them. I wonder if we ever see the Lord but we don't look at Him. I wonder if we ever hear the Lord but we don't listen to Him. And they came by and they looked at Him and they said, "Look on us. We want your attention. Look on us." And so I can see him with expectation thinking, hey, they have something for me. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Well, I wonder what he thought he was going to receive. Hopefully alms. And then Peter said, "Well, silver and gold, I don't have any of that." And I just wonder if he went, next, you know. Peter had a reason and John had a reason for saying, "Look at me. I don't have what you think you want." Do you get that? I don't have what you think you want. I don't have what you think you need. But I got some good news for you this morning, old lame man that has been here for years and years. I have something for you that meets your need. Now you have to look and focus on us. You have to look at us and have some expectation, and we want your attention. God wants our attention. He wants us to be still. He wants us to recognize He is our refuge. And sometimes His answer is, "Rod, I don't have the deliverance from the situation that you're looking for, but I do have something for you if you're interested." He said, "I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And the Lord wants to come by and speak those words to us today. And He's calling us by name. He's saying, "Jeannie, I might not have what you think you wanted, but I do have something for you, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh God, my Lord, I want what you have. It's in the name of Jesus. You are my refuge." And He calls us each one by name. Michael, Renee, Vanessa, Ethan, Zach. He's calling us. He's saying, "Look at me. Be still. Be willing to put aside all of this other. Be still and know that I'm God. Look at me with expectation. I have what you need. I'm not going to let you down. I will carry you through. Don't be weary. Don't faint. Be unmovable. Be steadfast. Don't waver. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I don't want to let Him down. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I want to know how to be still and to know God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. It seems like everything is in chaos and out of control. From everywhere you look, the mountains, the earth, the waters, you name it. Oh, but there is a river that is still flowing, that has a place for you at its banks, a spot reserved for you, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, listen, and that right early, before it's too late. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I'm God. Amen.